Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey guys, RJ here. It's Thursday, which means Thursday night NFL. Guess what? We got a best bet from Fezzik on Thursday night NFL. And I actually like that game a good bit myself. So if he is on the same side as me, then we're all going to be smiling. If not, we're going to be betting. And remember, if you bet, you can't afford not to listen to Straight Outta Vegas. But if you're just a fan, well, you can learn things other fans are missing. By the way, with us every day from the Fox Radio Studios, the fans champ, Jonas Knox.
Showtime! Woo!
That's right, RJ. Showtime, and we do it all live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we start off every show with the Vegas perspective on the biggest sports story of the day. And as you mentioned it, Thursday night football from Cleveland.
And right now, Browns at home, favored by 3 points against the Jets. Wait a minute, Browns are favored? Not something that happens too often. In fact, let's quantify that. If you look at the Browns, their last 30-some games, and I can get the exact number in a second, they've been favored two prior times in 30-some games, Fez. We go lean or like on these games. And by the way, usually the last block of the hour, that's when we give our best bets and the picks on that night's games. We've got so many free picks coming up in that block. We're going to lead the show with Fezzik's best bet on Thursday Night Football.
I like the Cleveland Browns -3. My number one reason, scheduling spot. I got a Jets team with a rookie quarterback that's playing their third game in 11 days. So short prep time versus a Browns team. I got to tell you, RJ, prime time game. This is going to be a raucous home field advantage, and this is their game of the year.
Home field. What's the Browns' typical home field? So in Vegas, 3 points is what we consider to be the typical home field advantage. Where do you have the Browns?
Browns have a 3-point average home field.
But because this is a winnable game, because this is on national TV, which the Browns aren't necessarily used to, you think a more energized crowd?
I think the dog pound's going to be worth 3.5 tonight.
Okay. So now, if you agree with Fez on that, if you like the Jets, you have to think the Jets are better, right? Because the line is 3. I think a rookie quarterback has big problems on Thursday night if it's a road team especially. Now, why a road team? Because a road team has less prep time. And in a given week where it's 7 days in between the games, that matters. But it matters so much more when there's only, think about it, you play Sunday. Now, you have Monday off, you have Tuesday off, and then you're traveling on Wednesday? And when I say off, I mean, obviously, they're doing some work, but they're resting. So now teams tend to be more tired. Now they're on the road. And now you have a rookie quarterback that needs time so, so badly. I think that is the key to this handicap, that Sam Darnold, a quarterback I'm quite high on midterm, long-term for the Jets, I think this is a horrible spot for him. Colin Cowherd, who, let's be candid, talks about Sam Darnold as much as anybody talks about Sam Darnold, including Sam Darnold's dad, he actually is a little pessimistic based on his show about Darnold tonight. I agree. Jonas, from the fans' perspective, what do you think is the key point in tonight's game?
Well, here's the key point from a fan's perspective. And since you want to know the fan's perspective, I'll tell you. Fans look at a wheel and they walk through a casino and they see a roulette board. And if it's hit black like 16 straight times, $5, $10, or 38 cents, they're going to bet red just based on what are the chances that it's going to hit black again. Well, the odds have got to kick in sooner or later. To me, if the Browns haven't won a game in this long, how many people have taken that same fans approach to this, Mayfield or Tyrod Taylor or not, that sooner or later the odds have got it kicked in? Have you guys found as bettors, as professionals, that you two have just expected the Browns to at some point they've got to win a game? Or at some
So when you say odds kick in, Are you talking about the due theory?
Yeah,
the idea?
Just they're due.
So when the Patriots were winning, going 16-0 10 years ago, were you thinking, I think they're due to lose?
That's how fans look at it.
I think there's contingents, Jonas. I think some fans look at it that way. Other fans look at it as, hey, if something's happened, I can promise you this. If someone's flipping a coin and it's 10 flips in a row or heads, I think more than 50% of people are picking heads next time. Fez, you're in the casinos as much as pretty much anyone that doesn't have a job there. They pay you. they do it begrudgingly, but they pay you. Is if you see a bunch of reds and a bunch of blacks, you know, so some sequential that it's been a bunch one way or the other on roulette, what would you say the majority? Now, obviously, there's exceptions. What's the majority of fans do?
They're betting more of the same.
I agree. And Jonas, I think the distinction is if something's happening that's unlikely, meaning something like, oh, this is this good team that's lost three in a row, that's where the due theory comes in. Oh, this team is too good to lose four in a row. You hear that all the time. I agree with you there. But if it's an event that isn't necessarily likely, whereas the Browns losing is obviously quite likely, when they lose, people are like more the same, I think is the way to think about it, which is why the Browns being favored here is such a statement. And oh, by the way, I got the exact number. Last 37 games. Not counting this one. Browns have been favored twice. So third time in 38, they're favored here, which is Vegas saying they're supposed to be favored because they're not going to make them favored if they're not supposed to be favored. I was just on with Gottlieb. I'm on every Thursday during his last hour with him. And I told him, I bet the Browns. Fezzik, you agree with the Browns. Here's the question, and let me ask you, Jonas, to start. If you were betting the Browns, would you rather Mayfield play or Taylor?
Tyrod Taylor.
Okay. Fez?
Taylor.
All right, so we quantify here by points. How many points would you downgrade the Browns if it were announced right now that Mayfield is starting?
A 1.5-point downgrade.
All right. Now let me pose one hypothetical to you, Fez. If I told you, if the Browns are at any point down 10 points or more, double digits, they're going to put Mayfield in. Does that, at that point, not before, but if they get down 10 or more, they put him in. Does that make you like the Browns more or less?
Makes me like them a little bit less, but it really doesn't matter because they're probably going to lose and not
cover
anyways.
Yeah, but the theory is teams come back from 10 all the time. I would make the case. I like the fact that some Browns media, some Cleveland media saying, hey, it's a Mayfield watch tonight if this game gets a little out of hand. Because to me, just the energy of saying, oh, look, here he is. Even though I agree with you starting a game, Mayfield, I have lesser power rated than Taylor. But if it's in a relief role when things need to change, then I actually like that they have Mayfield waiting just for that jolt of energy.
Interesting. They probably will get more energy. You know, Taylor was down 14 to Pittsburgh and brought him back to an even game.
Now, would Baker Mayfield be a 1.5-point difference and a 1.5-point downgrade just in general or on a short week like this? If you were starting this game, would you make them the favorite over Sam Darnold?
That's a good question. I personally think that, so the theory is Mayfield has got the same limitations as a rookie. You know, if he were starting, I think this would be a horrible game to start Mayfield. But if a rookie's coming in because they're down so much, I think whatever their game plan was, they're going to try to do something different anyway. And you often see a quarterback the other team didn't prepare for come in and look mighty good in a relief role. They start the next week and it's never the same because every quarter, or not never, it's often not the same because every quarterback has weaknesses, zones they don't throw too well, et cetera, and the defense builds their game plan around that. So I think a guy like Mayfield's much more effective right now in relief than he would be as a starter.
And guys, we'll have more on the Thursday night game coming up later on. Right now it's time for the Vegas lead. Aaron Rodgers missed practice on Thursday as the Packers go on the road this week at Washington to take on the Redskins, a 1 Eastern time kickoff on Fox.
And Fez, we've said it once, we will say it again. Aaron Rodgers is the most valuable player in NFL history, worth 10 points per game. Doesn't mean he's the best player ever. It means that he's the best quarterback, consensus Vegas opinion, Rodgers' best quarterback. And today, the quarterback position is more valuable than any position in NFL history has ever been. I think this is a flat spot for Green Bay. Why? They had two monster games. That Bears comeback and all the emotions around that. Week one, Cleveland and the zigging and zagging, the ebbs and flows, the highs and lows. And I think this feels flat. Quick handicap on the Packers this week.
If Rodgers is close to 100%, this line is right that Green Bay should be laying three. If he's anywhere not close to 100%, like you said, RJ, an extra 10 minutes of overtime against the Vikings, a lot of energy taken out, tough spot for the Packers.
Yeah, not only the emotions, but the physical of playing that extra 10 minutes. Packers on the road, favored by three right now against the Skins. I question the Skins only win against his Arizona team that we don't know how bad that Arizona team is.
Guys, it's been a wild week for Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is back in Pittsburgh, and he spoke to the media earlier today.
The culture should be winning. That's all that matters. That's how business is winning. If we're not winning, I'm pissed off. I'm passionate about winning. I signed up to win. I work extremely hard, put 20 hours a day of my life and my body away from my family to win. And when we don't, yeah, I'm pissed off because I take it serious. A lot of time go into this, a lot of hard work and effort. So, yeah, I am pissed off.
Yes, I'm a Steelers fan, but I remain objective. Here's my big question in this game. Is the Steelers typically play well with their backs against the wall? You've got to wonder if they truly believe their backs are against the wall.
Yeah, and I wonder it as well. And my basic strategy, when I look at a Pittsburgh game, when they go on the road, Big Ben's so much better at home than on the road. If I'm really not sure, I'm going to lean against the Steelers on the road.
And this is a team, and right now the Steelers are favored by 1.5 in Tampa Bay with Fitzpatrick. And it's easy to say Fitzpatrick is a fluke, but this Tampa team has maybe the best wide receiver duo in football. And this Tampa team has an offensive coordinator they've let loose, Cutter has. He's doing some original stuff. So, yeah, I think Fitzpatrick's hot, but I think it's more than just luck right now. And I think Pittsburgh, the Steeler players, love attention. Will they get more attention if they win or lose? And I feel like, now that sounds absurd, right? Because everyone wants to make the playoffs. I think Pittsburgh feels like they can do it. Like if I'm playing horse against a 9-year-old, if I let them get up HO, I'm not that worried. It sounds absurd the Steelers think that way, but as a fan, it seems like they do. When we come back, we're switching to college football, and we have the breaking lines of Alabama versus the best teams in the country. You're going to be very surprised.
That's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a minute, your first glimpse at Alabama versus the best in college football.
But first, every day we bring Vegas to you when you can't be here. Right now on the Vegas Strip, 96 degrees, and the neon is humming.
We are brought to you by TrueCar. Car shopping can be confusing with terms like dealer price, list price, and invoice. TrueCar shows you what other people paid for the car you want, so you can recognize a good price when you're ready to buy a new or used car. Visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. And guys, let's talk Alabama versus the world.
Yeah, right now, this came out just recently here in Las Vegas. We have the Golden Nugget, Tony Miller down there. Long-time old-school bookmaker has put up odds on Bama versus Ohio State versus Georgia versus Clemson versus Oklahoma. And, boy, it's a surprise to me. And we got the right guy to talk about it. He has all the college knowledge. Brad Powers.
I read 9 newspapers a day.
He does. All right, Brad, let's start. Bama versus Ohio State. What's the number?
Alabama, a 9.5-point favorite over the Buckeyes.
9.5. This is the closest game.
Closest spread.
So Vegas is saying Ohio State's the second best team.
Yep.
And they're almost double-digit favorites.
Remarkable, isn't it?
Now, you've been handicapping. You're only in your mid-30s, but a long, long time. Is this the biggest spread you've seen between the best team and the second best team?
No, I mean, we saw one in a national championship game.
But who's to say Notre Dame was the best team?
No,
or the second best team.
Yeah, that's a good call there. And Georgia was less of a underdog the SEC championship game that year. No, I was going back to 2002, the national championship game, the Buckeyes against
Miami.
But
are we sure Ohio State was the second best team
that
year?
Probably not, but that was a 14-point spread. So that would have been probably the biggest disparity.
And we've talked about, could this Bama team be the best team of the century? And I would say this. If they play this well, if this is their true baseline, if this is their true level, I'd say yes.
Yep.
But I don't think we know yet. What's the toughest team Bama's played?
Their last game, probably Ole Miss.
And where's Ole Miss? You do your power rankings, 1 to 32. You can get those at Brad Powers 7 on Twitter, at Brad Powers, P-O-W-E-R-S, then the number 7. Where is Ole Miss right now in your power rankings?
Number 51.
So my point is, an ability to dominate a mediocre team is a sign of being good, but it's different than playing even, you know, winning by 10 or 15 against an elite team. So I think Bama's answered one question. I don't think they've answered the second one yet, but still the numbers keep climbing. You got Georgia as your second best team. Vegas here says third. What's the line, Alabama-Georgia?
Alabama, a 10.5-point favorite over Georgia. Keep in mind, just last year, neutral field, national championship game, Alabama was a 3.5, 4-point favorite over Georgia in the national championship game last year.
Now, is Georgia compared to last year? You got them second this year. Are they up or down between last year and this year?
I thought Georgia would be down 2 or 3 points. But so far, Georgia exceeded expectations. Georgia was only right around a double-digit favorite at South Carolina and pretty much dominated that game. Georgia's a little bit better than what I thought they were, at least coming into the season. Georgia's probably a point and a half, 2 points worse than a year ago.
So a little bit down for Georgia, still the second best team, and they'd be getting 10.5 against Bama.
That's unbelievable, man. Like George, if you just watch Georgia's game against South Carolina, it's hard to fathom that there's a team in the country that would beat them by double digits, and they're in their own conference. It's crazy.
I agree with we're talking history here.
I know.
And this is what Vegas does exceptionally well. We quantify. We put numbers on things. Sports talk, and I've said this many times. I spoke at South by Southwest. I did a solo presentation a few years ago. They said, RJ, pick the topic you want. The topic was how sports betting odds, the Vegas odds, create the context of discussions when it comes to sports. Every radio show, it's, how upset should we be the local team lost? Well, if they were 20-point dogs and they lost by 7, maybe not that upset. If they were 20-point favorites, you better be upset. That's the context that Vegas creates. Two more teams. Clemson, 11.5-point underdogs to Bama. And then finally, Oklahoma, 14.5. So, Brad, if you could pick one of these games and put the ticket in your pocket, which you can, because these are bettable numbers right now, which dog would you take? Ohio State plus 9.5, Georgia plus 10.5, Clemson plus 11.5, Oklahoma plus 14.5. Which one versus Bama?
Give me Georgia plus the 10.5.
Fez.
You got to take Oklahoma, because if Oklahoma gets there to the title game, their power rating is going to go up so much that it will be a bargain.
And that's an interesting point Fezzik makes. When you have these future type game bets and it's uncertain if the teams are going to play, think of the scenario. Let's say there's a team that just squeaks in the NFL playoffs, just wild cards in with 9 wins. If you look at a future Super Bowl odds from the best team in the league, let's say in the NFL on one side, and then in the NFC, let's say the other side, there's that 9-7 team. If you actually had that line today, it might be sky high between the best team and that 9-7 team. But assuming that 9-7 team wins 3 games, well, we're going to reevaluate them. Fez makes an interesting point. This line today for Oklahoma might make sense, But if they make the championship game, 14.5 actually looks mighty juicy.
And let me ask you about Clemson. Because Clemson played Alabama, and they played them close twice in a row, and they won the second time. What would the spread be between this year's Alabama team and the Clemson team with Deshaun Watson that beat them in the national title game?
So what was the spread of that game first? And then we can compare that Bama team versus this one.
Alabama was a 6.5-point favorite.
Okay, and it came down to, it was a coin toss game?
Coin toss game.
So here, in theory, let's adjust the line a couple of points because Clemson did play well. So let's say it would be 4 if those two teams had a rematch. Does that sound right?
Yep.
And now this Bama team's a couple of points better?
Yeah, 6-7 sounds about right to me.
Yeah, so about a touchdown, it seems like.
That's amazing. So we're really watching history.
Speaking of great teams, Jonas, let's go to the Buckeyes here. Urban Meyer's back. Brad, let me give you a hypothesis, as I sometimes call it when I want to sound fancy. The Ohio State Buckeyes, I'm an alum, have been really motivated those first two games. They were laying big numbers to make a statement. Yeah, you want to take our coach away? That ain't going to stop us. And they look mighty good in those games. TCU, they were going to be motivated for that game anyway. They didn't cover, but still they played, you know, they almost covered against a very good TCU team. Now they're laying how much this week against who?
37-point favorite at home against Tulane.
My thought is the combination of the distraction of he's back with the fact that, hey, what do we really prove now? We've already proved we don't need him, especially when you're laying 37. I actually liked the green wave here.
And I'll further that by it's a horrible sandwich spot for the Buckeyes off that big primetime game against TCU. And what's on deck? Maybe outside of the Michigan game, the biggest conference game of the season at Penn State. Love it, RJ.
So, Nick Bosa, we got some news today, Jonas.
Yeah, Urban Meyer passed along a little bit of bad news involving defensive end Nick Bosa. He had surgery on Thursday to fix a core muscle injury. I have no idea what the hell that is. But there is no timetable for his return, according to Urban Meyer. So the question needs to be asked, since we are straight out of Vegas. Brad, how much value do you give Nick Bosa?
So Nick Bosa, at least according to a lot of NFL draft experts, maybe the best player in college football, regardless of position. But he is a defensive player, not a quarterback. I think Bosa, even though he's the best pass rusher in college football, worth about a point.
Okay, so here's my thought, and I agree with that. By the way, Fez, a little challenge for you here, and we'll get to Stanford, Oregon quickly. We have something that no other show has. We have a green button with a gigantic dollar sign on it. And what happens is whenever any of us around the Vegas Roundtable, Jonas, he's the fans champ. He's not involved with this because, let's be candid, he wouldn't show up for work eventually. Once we kept taking money, what's going to happen there, right? Is anyone that grabs the green button, they can fade. They can fade. Hand it to me there, Brian. They can fade, and this is the sound it makes. So when you hear this sound, it means an auto bet for $100. Now, $100 doesn't mean much to a guy like Fez, but he hates to lose. By the way, we had a bet yesterday. I took the Rams to not win the Super Bowl. I gave Fez 6-1, so $100 to win $600 with that. Now, Fez, if you want to bet Ohio State this week, here's the button.
No, pal.
Ah-ha! Okay. There is a game Brad and Fez actually bet against each other, Stanford, Oregon. And boy, Brad, the line's moved to your favor.
Yeah, Stanford now a 2-point favorite at Oregon. And mainly for me, I can't trust Oregon. Why? The Ducks have played the worst strength of schedule, the easiest, I should say, easy for them. But as far as if you're ranking them, by far the worst strength of schedule of any Power 5 team, San Jose State, Portland State, Bowling Green. What are they going to react to when they finally get punched in the mouth?
So what was the bet?
The bet was, boy, what did we bet?
As you remember, what was it?
I laid 2 with the Oregon Ducks, and now they're the underdog. That never happens. I never get stuck with a bad line.
I wouldn't say never. I wouldn't say never. But you guys betted on a podcast, and we'll be settling up all. And by the way, when the bets get settled, we are going to do video of the exchange of money. We'll do close-ups on Fezzik's face, see his eyes trying to smile, but they're going to be crying inside. By the way, in just 1 minute, thinking of smiling, We have NFL Films, a true expert, Greg Cosell. We're going to do an interview with him and try to make some money off of his expertise.
But first, here's Dan Beyer with the latest.
Good news if you had the A's minus 15.5 today. They're up 18-2 on the Angels. I don't know. That's just the only betting that we do here at the update desk. 18-2 Oakland up in the top of the seventh inning. Tiger Woods minus 5 today at the Tour Championship. Around a 65 for Tiger has him shared a top there, sharing the lead with one Ricky Fowler, who also fired a 65 today. Good for 5 under. That is at Eastlake. Rory McIlroy is 2 shots back at minus 3. Online car shopping can be confusing. Not anymore with True Price from True Car. Now you can know the exact price you'll pay for your next car. So visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. The Dallas Cowboys are the most valuable franchise in the National Football League. Forbes says the team is valued at $5 billion. Patriots are second, valued at $3.8 billion, followed by the Giants at $3.3 billion and the LA Rams at $3.2 billion. No practice today for Vikings running back Dalvin Cook. Missed his second straight day of workouts because of a hamstring injury. Patriots tenant Rob Gronkowski was on the injury report because of an ankle issue. And no practice for Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, sitting out practice today because of his knee injury. Green Bay's got Washington on Sunday. Again, Jets and Browns tonight, 8:20 Eastern. Back to you.
Thanks, Dan. Coming to you live here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios, where it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan, and he is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
And I tell you guys, one of the things you got to love about the show is you know what we're about. We're about getting great information. Now, some of you bet with it. Many of you, more than half of you, just want to know what other fans don't. And Greg Cosell from NFL Films, 39 years, he knows things that maybe no one else in the world knows. We're going to try to learn from him. Greg, thank you for joining with us.
Boy, that's quite the introduction. I don't know about that, but I appreciate it.
Well, I tell you, Greg, you got some fans here. There's maybe 3 or 4 radio spots a week that I have to hear, and you with Colin is one of them. I always listen to Mike Lombardi, the guys that really know the X's and O's. We won't draw you into any gambling talk, but we do want to know. Vegas does care about certain things.
And yeah, I can't do the gambling stuff, guys. You know that.
Exactly. I'm telling you, don't worry. We don't need that from you. We'll take care of that. First question. The Browns are a team that Vegas has really been high on relative to public perception for years. And the reason is their stats are so much better than their scoreboard. And the Vegas guys believe in the long run, the stats catch up and they're the truth and the scoreboard isn't. Do you believe in the NFL there's certain teams that lose more close games, not just out of bad luck, but because of fundamental things about that team?
Well, I would say the answer to that would be no. With all the tape that I watch, there are so many variables as to why teams win or lose. And there's so many individual plays that things happen that are very hard to quantify. I know we're in a world of analytics as well and sabermetrics and whatever term people want to use, and there's nothing wrong with using those kinds of things as part of the equation, and I think you have to, but I think you also have to understand what that is and what that isn't. I think that when there's 22 moving players on every play, you have to be careful about using the result of the play to overtake the process of the game. Do you understand what I'm saying?
The
results are results. They happen for many reasons. What coaches do and what ultimately dictates how things get played out is process.
Think about what he's saying, everybody. What Greg's saying there is the average fan looks at just the scoreboard, right? And then a place like Football Outsiders, an advanced analytics place, looks at each play. And Greg is saying, well, hey, there's 22 elements to every play. You've got to grade each of those. Boy, that's a micro level. But, hey, let's be candid, though, Greg. A guy like Belichick, call him the genius, literally. That's the one team that wins more one-score games. If you look back 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, their record is number one during all those spans. He is considered an elite coach, the elite coach. Is this a chicken and the egg that we're thinking he's elite, because he got lucky in those games? Or maybe Belichick's the exception. They're winning more close games and it's not luck.
Well, I don't think there's luck involved when you do it over a long period of time. And let me give you an example. This goes back, and I believe this was their first Super Bowl when they beat the St. Louis Rams, when Belichick beat Mike Martz. And he chose to play a certain way with a certain tactic that is not the result, in my view anyway, maybe someone would disagree, of analytics or sabermetrics, when he chose to take what we call a bullseye approach, and every time Marshall Faulk was in the backfield, offset next to Kurt Warner in the shotgun, he said, you know what? Marshall Faulk is the most important player in this offense, and I'm going to have my edge defender run right at Marshall Faulk as he releases into a pass route and hit him and prevent him from doing that, and then have my defender rush the quarterback. But it was more important to rush Marshall, to hit Marshall Faulk. See, to me, that's a tactical understanding of the game, not an analytical understanding of the game, and I think those two things can be very different.
Yeah, when we were talking with Mike Lombardi on Tuesday, we were talking about the Haberstam book, The Making of a Coach.
Yep.
And that was at, and they talk about that a good bit, Haberstam did, in that book about Belichick. Another question. Greg Cosell, you can follow him on Twitter, at Greg Cosell, executive producer and analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN. Atlanta in the red zone, and their new their second year offensive coordinator, Sarkisian. The narrative in Vegas is, oh, Shanahan was elite. He rejuvenated Matt Ryan's career. Now you've got a guy X's and O's wise, maybe not up to the NFL level. Some might say that about Sarkisian. Now, last week, the Falcons did much better in the red zone. Matt Ryan ran the ball more than you would expect. What's your prediction for Atlanta's red zone play rest of this season?
See, it's interesting you bring that up because they scored two passing touchdowns in the red zone, okay? One of them came when Calvin Ridley, the rookie, in man coverage, beat Dante Jackson, a rookie from LSU. He ran a great route. He beat him off the line of scrimmage, and he won the route, and Matt Ryan delivered the football. The other red zone touchdown came when they called a play that's in everybody's playbook in the NFL, everybody's playbook, and Austin Hooper, the tight end, beat Shaq Thompson, a linebacker who's more athletic than Austin Hooper, but Hooper won the route, and Matt Ryan made a good throw. So now they do these kinds of things every week. When they don't work, does that mean they're bad concepts and bad plays? And when they do work, does that mean they're good concepts and good plays? See, it's too easy to get caught up in the results. Results are easy. Everybody's a genius when the result happens. That's why I'm so much more into the process.
Okay, so judging the process, if we look at the Falcons in the red zone from the start of last year, the Sarkisian era, through today, how would you judge their process in the red zone, the Falcons?
I think it's been good and bad. For instance, I didn't think some of the things they did the week prior against the Eagles, to me, were good tactical concepts. But then again, what they did this week, is winning a one-on-one matchup a good tactical concept, or do receivers have to win one-on-one at some point? You know, when a team throws a fade ball in the red zone to a wide receiver who's covered man-to-man and the receiver catches it, is that a good concept? Then when it doesn't work, what fans say is, oh, that's not a good play, they're just throwing it up. So you have to be careful about making definitive judgments on things that at times work and other times don't work. Because you know what? To be cliched, the other team gets paid too.
He is Greg Cosell, NFL analyst, senior producer for NFL Films, joining us here on Straight Outta Vegas on Fox Sports Radio. Greg, you watch as much film as anybody in the business. So from what you watch so far this season, can you name a quarterback or two that you view as a little bit of fool's gold, that's getting a lot of pub and a lot of hype, but what you see on tape is a little bit misleading?
Well, I'm always leery of the anointment process, guys, you know, and we do that. That's the nature of our business. You know, you guys know you're on the radio all the time. When you have to comment every day, every word out of one's mouth is not a pearl of wisdom. It can't be. Nothing personal, guys. It's just the way it is.
So you've heard
I'm sure it's true with me, too.
So you've heard my show.
But, you know, the anointment process, all this summer we heard that Deshaun Watson is Michael Jordan. And I like Deshaun Watson as a player, and I think he'll be a good player. But all of a sudden, he's struggling a little bit. The tape tells you some of the reasons why he's struggling. One is particularly concerning to me, and that he's now showing a tendency to drop his eyes and read the rush because he's uncomfortable with their offensive line. It's not a real good O-line, but you can't be a consistent week-to-week quarterback in the NFL when you drop your eyes and read the rush. Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold will be a good NFL quarterback. What level of goodness? I can't answer that. No one can. It just becomes one's opinion. But he's played two games. Let's not get the Hall of Fame bust ready just yet. So I think that we anoint very quickly nowadays.
That's Greg Cosell. It's a true honor to have him on. You can follow him on Twitter, at Greg Cosell. Thank you, Greg.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
When we come back, it's multiple, not one best bet, multiple best bets.
That's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fans. We have great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance.
Every last block of the show, the last 10 minutes or so, 6 to 7 Eastern, 3 to 4 Pacific, Straight Out of Vegas, we do picks. We pick that night's games. We look ahead. We got a new feature, though, guys. It's called the bet a little to win a lot, but it's hard to imagine the pick losing. Now, we haven't spent a lot of time on the name. We will, but here's the concept. People love money line parlays. Now, what's that mean? Oh, I want this 10-point favorite to win and this 12-point favorite to win and this 9-point favorite. And it's like, how can you imagine them losing? Now, let's put that in quotes, but every week, Brad on Thursday is going to give you three, four, or five teams based on how big the favorites are that you actually win more than you bet. And this week, it's a four-teamer, right?
It is a four-teamer.
So give me the four teams with the spread and the money line quickly.
Clemson, 15.5-point favorite, minus 700 on the money line.
All right, against?
They are playing Georgia Tech.
All right, so Clemson just has to beat Georgia Tech.
They do.
That seems very easy.
Yes.
What's next?
Baylor against Kansas. Baylor right now, a 7.5-point favorite, minus 310 on the money line.
Ah, Baylor's going to win.
Kansas is terrible.
That's two.
Utah State against Air Force. Utah State, a 10.5-point favorite, minus 400 on the money line.
Can't imagine them losing. Last one.
Washington, a 17.5-point favorite against Arizona State, minus 1,000 on the money line.
Okay, so if you bet 100, how much does that four-teamer pay?
$108.50.
All right, so 100 wins more than you're betting, so you would have $208.50.
Yep.
Quickly, rattle off the teams, just the teams quickly.
Clemson, Baylor, Utah State, and Washington.
Okay, guys, Brad's already bet this. He'll put this on his Twitter, at BradPower7, and every Thursday, the how can it lose four-teamer.
That's the kind of bet I make when I'm hammered. I'm not kidding. I've done that 1,000 times.
But that's the thing, though. You did it as a square. Brad's taking the favorites that he thinks actually are good bets and rolling it in. Or at least that's the theory.
Well, guys, what about the SEC? You know, Clay Travis is a big SEC honk, Fox Sports Radio host here. And Clay Travis has a little something he would like to provide to the show.
Well, yeah. You know, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let's go to it, and we'll talk.
We're going to make you guys lots of money.
Clay Travis's SEC pick of the week.
My SEC lock of the week. My name is Clay Travis. I'm Lock It In every afternoon on FS1. I also host the Daily Morning Show, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern here on Fox Sports Radio. Appreciate RJ Bell giving me an opportunity to hop on here and tell you that the under in Florida at Tennessee is the play. One of these teams going to win 21-17. I have no idea which team it's going to be, but I can tell you that this under now, sitting right around 47 or so, is going to cash by a full 10 points because neither one of these teams is going to score. It's going to be a brutal battle in the trenches, ugly game. Florida, Tennessee, play the under. You'll be glad that you did. It's my SEC lock of the week.
No, Clay could have been a tout. That sounded pretty good. You're like old school. All right. Agree, disagree.
I totally agree with that one.
Brad Powers agrees. Quickly, there's a game on ESPN, college football.
Yes, Temple, a 6-point favorite at home against Tulsa.
Lean on Temple for me.
So lean or like. Lean means just a smidge. Like is you might be batting it. Lean.
Lean on Temple minus the 6 points.
And what's the rationale?
Rationale is we finally saw that Temple team that we were expecting all season showed up last week in an outright upset win over Maryland. That continues this week. Give me the Owls.
Clay Travis, every Thursday, exclusive here is SEC Pick of the Week. Quickly, Fez, we talked about it in the first part of the hour. Browns, your best bet. I've already bet them. What's one thing we haven't talked about yet that makes you like the Browns?
The Browns have had a much tougher strength of schedule. They played two playoff caliber teams. The Jets have played two teams that were supposed to miss the playoffs.
And that's a great point. Early in the year, people obsess with the records of the teams. Who did they play? Got to keep that in mind. Tomorrow, guys, it's the Friday extravaganza. There's three things on Fridays. Picks, picks, and picks.
Pure action, an hour of all football breakdown here on Straight Outta Vegas. Tomorrow, 6 Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.